Fenswell Boxing.
Ireland's boxing weekly podcast.
To catch up or refresh on a back catalogue
of over 200 episodes,
or find the links to our YouTube channel and any of our social media platforms, click the link below, click on the show notes for knockout details on the past, present and future of Irish boxing.
You're welcome on in indeed. Episode 209 and the aftermath of the most Irish weekend of the year. How was it for you? What did you get up to? Where did you go? There's been an absolute deluge of Irish boxing over the weekend, whether it was into the West, whether it was across to the West, or whether it was anywhere else indeed. We're going to try and throw a broad net over it. You've got Ian sitting across from me now, and surprisingly, no red eyes from either of us, but certainly feels like we've been on a red eye ride over the weekend. Ian, you survived in one piece.
Ah, yeah. So, when you have children these days, Al, you can't but survive, you know?
And the inner child sometimes is just as hard to deal with, because there was plenty of times over the weekend where you're looking at and you're listening to the calls and you're seeing the messages and you're thinking, might break out, might disappear downtown for one, but I think you and I both know, with that smirk on your face, there is no such thing as one, is there?
No, not at all. And as they say, Al, happy wife, happy life. But sometimes you have to poke that bear sometimes, you know?
It was a smashing weekend for boxing. No matter what level of interest you've got, at what level of boxing you've got, there was a feast of it on over the weekend. Santa came to Enswell Boxing. Two very, very happy presenters here we got. Big shout out to the man, I suppose, in this scenario who we would refer to as our Santa, was Ross and Violent Gentleman. It's not often we get a package like that, is it?
No, absolutely quality, lovely stuff, and you'll see us out and about wearing them proudly.
Yeah, big shout out to Ross, big shout out to Violent Gentleman, and any club or any pro or anybody at any level that's looking for merch and looking for kit, Ross is the man to go to. As always, you find a link for Ross and for Violent Gentleman in our show notes below as I point to the floor, realizing that there is no cameras present yet, but there's another revelation that we'll be teeing up soon. But yeah, big shout out, thanks to Ross, and as Ian said, there's some pretty good trips coming on the road for us over the next couple of days and weeks.
As always, you can contact us on our various different social medias. On X, it's Enswell Podcast. Instagram, it's Enswell_podcast. Enswell, as Enswell. Looking forward to hearing from you all.
It's hard to know even where to begin with the amount of different shows, different cards, different fights, different fighters. Some were there for the last time, some were out for the first time, and then there was everything in between. We're going to do this in the best we can. We're going to cover it probably by no particular day. We'll go by card as best we can. What one caught your attention?
It was Once Upon a Time in the West in Castle Bar. Fantastic name for an actual card. Some of the results on this was predictable, some of them less so. And one of the ones that really kind of caught me by surprise was Spike O'Sullivan's defeat to Catty, 77-76. I know it was Spike's first fight since 22. He kept barreling forward as only Spike could. All action fighter, great entertainment action man. It's hard to see where this leaves him now. On the upside of that then, we had the continuation of the Carty party. Thomas Carty himself, second round knockout, onwards and upwards for Thomas. And then after that, then you had Ray Mollett, who had to summon all sorts of powers of recuperation and courage and everything else to get up off the floor in the second round, and was in real, real trouble in the fifth as well, and he came back to win. And then the highlight of the night, so to speak, which I'm going to give Alan a bit of a shout out here, Psychic Al,
Mystic Al,
where he said a good few weeks ago now that he wondered whether Dillian White would actually be on this card, considering he was promoting it. And we all got a nice little shock a number of weeks ago when we were told that Dillian White versus Christian Hammer, two former top 10 heavyweights. Now, unfortunately, that didn't finish the way Dillian particularly would have wanted, with Hammer retiring on a stool at the end of the third round. But a win is a win is a win, as they say. And we'll see where that leaves him now in the actual heavyweight rankings.
Yeah, I suppose it didn't take a rocket science to join the dots. It was probably the perfect launch pad for Dillian to relaunch a very, very controversial career. A very controversial character who embraces the controversy all the way, and he wears it well, to be fair to him. I've had quite a good few interactions with Dillian in the background. Haven't managed to get him on the show yet, but we'll keep trying. If God really does love triers, I tell you one thing, he must idolise me. That is for sure. But listen, there's a dark side of this that people are talking about, and it's fair enough to mention. He made his comeback following his fourth drugs ban. It's not a good look. He's as honest in terms of fighting. He will wear his heart on his sleeve. He'll go out on his shield. It's hard to know what to say in these scenarios. My big question goes towards, when is enough enough? If a fighter has blurred those lines too many times, I know there's a lot of people will question and say, did he serve a silent ban? There's a lot of people saying that he's boxing off a Texas commission license. It wasn't a BBOC license, which then left it at the door of the BUI to license him to fight in Ireland, which, when we look at some of the questions that were asked in the past, it just makes it very strange. What are the criteria to be accepted as a fighter or accepted as a licensed fighter in Ireland? All that being the case, I think you're right. These two guys lined up their names where they were 2-3 years ago would have been a huge fight. It would have been a really really appetizing and appealing fight. But when you looked at Christian Hammer in the weigh-in, you're thinking, you know what's happening here. You really know what there's a payday coming here. The bigger picture here for me is Ray Moylett got to box in front of his home crowd. Ray is one of the most genuine, authentic, honest, straight-talking, and probably a little bit too straight-talking for his own good at times, fighters. The fact that he never lived to the potential that he showed so early in his amateur career. He won at every level, did it all as an amateur, and it looked so promising. That being said, Ray is always an entertainment in himself. He's always great value. And I remember interviewing him here on the podcast just before he boxed in Castlebar the last time. And he had a torrid night against a torrid Mexican who beat him up, put him down in the canvas twice. And only Ray Moylett could get up the way Ray Moylett get up. And he did it again the other night. I believe what's been said now is that this is his final fight, that this is it. He's on the way out the door. Knowing Ray Moylett and knowing boxing the way it is at the moment, I believe all that when I see it. But props to Ray, props to the guys for putting that card on. I think it's pretty much, that's the fight we're talking about. I'll touch a little bit on Spike being Spike. A little bit like I said about Sam Eglinton and other people in the past. The losses don't define him. Spike wears that. He's the epitome of the fighting Irish. He has the image. He has the whole persona. And he probably has fought at times when maybe he shouldn't have. And I would have thought the way that was announced at the weekend, that it came a little bit too quick. It came a little bit too out of the blue. I don't know how long the lads were in camp, but it's not a good look for him. And it's not something that you would want for him at this point of his career. I would say there's probably one more, maybe two in Spike's career. If he wants, he could also call it now if he wants. But I think the safe bet is to say Spike is a proud, proud man, and he's not going to go out like that. I could see him coming back maybe on a home card somewhere later on in the year and closing out the career with a win. But who am I? We're not going to be the ones here to put a death knell on any fighter or tell them when or where to fight or when or where to retire. The point is, he showed up, he boxed, and it wasn't enough on the night, and he owned it. There were also good wins on that card for Daniel O'Sullivan and Craig O'Brien. All in all, it was an entertaining night's fights by the looks of things. Anybody there seemed to enjoy themselves. There was a raucous atmosphere, as there generally is when we go into the West.
The day before the Castlebar scrap, we also had a card in Galway. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we had great plans here for that. And something I touched on early on in episodes was my run of, shall we say, the absolute polar opposite, the good luck lately. As Anthony Cacacci said not so long ago, if he had a duck, it'd drown. Well, I think if I had a horse, it'd fall in the parade ring. I won't go into the ins and the finer details of it, but let's just say my car is not so mobile over the last few days since somebody chose not to stop when they should have. But all that aside, the plans were in the run-up to this was to get lots of mini-episodes with the fighters involved in the card. It didn't happen. I got a couple done, which you're going to feature here in a few minutes' time. But yeah, it was a nice card to come back to McElhinney Promotions. We spoke to Naomi a couple of weeks ago. She had told me we had Luke Keeler topping the bill. We had Cathal Crowley. We had Thomas O'Toole topped the bill. Luke Keeler was the co-main. Cathal Crowley, Sean O'Keefe, Colin Murphy, Rhys Morn. Lots of nice fights on the card. All the home fighters won, as you would expect. And it's a nice way to open their account from a McElhinney point of view. I suppose for most of the fighters on that, Thomas to come back home, box at home. You'll hear from him in a few minutes' time. Shauna was really keen to get back boxing in Ireland, having had an incredible amateur story and Colin Murphy is just on the crest of a wave. It's if we're being honest about it, it's domestic boxing at its best. But it's got to be, as we said with the Jayborn card, it's got to be, I suppose, a door opener. The next one, as we know, which we can't talk about at the moment, is promised to be a lot bigger and a lot better and a lot more exciting. But credit to McAleenys, credit to Naomi, credit to Steve, credit to all the fighters. They turned up, they showed up, and they delivered. And the reception, by the atmosphere, by the feedback that we've had since, it's been incredible. And it's a long way in when you look at where we were this time last year, where we look at where we were for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, we were fairly barren, all right. And luckily we have the likes of Jay Byrne stepping in, the McAleenys stepping in and providing good quality shows, obviously of various different qualities. But at the same time, we were at the Jay Byrne show, very, very impressed. Atmosphere was absolutely savage. And the only thing, we've only heard good things about Galway and about Mayo as well. So onwards and upwards, and can't wait to see what the next one is going to be, you know?
Yeah, and we have Jay Byrne already announcing his follow-up card, which is, I believe, the 12th of April,
yep,
which is the Fastlane. And we've got some of the fighters in that. Matthew Tyndall, we see, is announcing that. We've got Peter Carr, who my own son will be absolutely delighted to see the devil announced. And we'll be getting along there. We'll be doing our build up to that again. But it's important, and this is the fight fans' absolute, this is what we do the worst. We complain that there's nothing. We complain that there's nothing. And then we get something and we complain, oh, but it's not that great. It's important to remember where we're coming from. To look back only 6 months ago, not long, 2 months before Christmas, when Jay Byrne had his first card, we didn't have anything. Now we have regular shows. Now we have month after month after month, sometimes two in the same weekend. That's incredible. That's an incredible turnaround. And we got to just put our faith in these people who are putting their own hand in their pockets, using their own money to promote these shows, yep, to put them on for us to go and appreciate, to watch. Our only hope and our belief is that it will, with each show and with each card, it will step up in levels. We will get better opponents, building towards the dream of that home scene where we get domestic fights, where we get one town fighting another, where we get that old traditional Irish rivalries, similar to what we see in the GAA world. But yeah, I think you're right, Ian. I think we're on the right path. It's going direction.
We were definitely spoiled the weekend anyway, you know.
When we talk about dreams and we talk about build-ups and we talk about preparations and homecomings, imagine how it felt for Thomas O'Toole, having been living and boxing and training in Boston for the last number of years, to finally get the opportunity out of nowhere to get the call to come home to headline the show in Galway, to highlight his career and learn what he's been learning and his learning curve over the last couple of years. I spoke to him just days before he made his home debut. Every fighter has a story, and within that story, there's usually two or three more stories. The who's, the where's, the what for's. Before we jump into the boxing content, do you want to tell us a little bit of Thomas O'Toole's story?
Yeah, so grew up in rural Connemara, as far west of Galway as you can go. And we only had the one boxing club. And I think I joined, I was 12 or 13. You know, like a lot of kids, I was like, I was young, I was a bit overweight. And, you know, I kind of just went to see how I liked it at first. And funny enough, I didn't take to it at first. It was maybe a year later, I just kind of said to myself, do you know what, I want to do this. And, you know, I dedicated myself to it at that time, do you know. And boxed through my teenage years, never really won anything, got some bad injuries, had to have operations on my shoulders and stuff. So it really never got going for me. And, you know, but I stayed disciplined. And once I finished secondary school, I went to college in Galway City. And that's where I linked up with my last coach, Pavel Popko, at Celtic Eagles Boxing Club. And, you know, through my studies, I boxed full time. So, you know, I didn't really live that college life. You know, I sacrificed a lot and I really gave it a good go. My dream was to win a national title. And, you know, I was only with him about 2 years and I did that. And then the following year, we won the elites and kept on going. And now I'm professional and I've moved over to America to pursue that. Currently 8-0 as a professional. So, yeah, it's going well. Probably definitely achieved more than I thought I would have when I was a kid, you know. But now I have my goals set higher again. That's the story so far.
When we hear Connemara boxers, we think of the rich pedigree and the proud tradition of Sean Mannion. We think of Peter McDonagh. We think of some fantastic fighters that have come out of there. You're flying the flag high. It's hard to believe, Thomas, that boxing has been on such a downturn it's in a way, it's fitting that you've gone away, you've done all your ground, you've got all the groundwork done. And now when things start to pick up again, it looks like there could be a very busy horizon for Irish fighters and lots of fights here for you.
Going back to what you said there, it's amazing for such a small island, the level of boxers that we've produced. Like, it's, like you said, it's our most successful Olympic sport. The Irish team, they can compete with any team in the world. And that's amateur boxing. Amateur boxing has always been huge in Ireland. And it's only over the last few years, professional boxing is starting to take off a bit. And hopefully it'll take off even more. Like, you see, this week you have a show and then you have like my show Saturday and then you have the show on Sunday. You know, there's a lot more shows coming along. So, you know, that's a good thing, trying to get professional boxing booming in Ireland, you know, because no more than myself, a lot of fighters have had to leave Ireland to try and make a career of it, you know, because it's not, it hasn't been big enough here, you know, to really make a career of it. So it's great to see it picking up and hopefully it just gets bigger and bigger.
For the listeners, Thomas has been away from home almost full time since last April. So he's been living in Boston, which is almost a home away from home, because I've spoken to my great pal, Niall Kennedy, Spike, and the lads have been spent lots of time over there at the Dropkick Murphys, and it's the homeland of the Murphys. But you're home now on terra firma. It must be, I suppose, again, when I say that and I see a little bit of a smile, it must be a great feeling for an Irishman to finally be coming home and topping the show in your home county. Can you describe what it's like when that call comes or the offer comes?
What you said there about Boston, a home away from home, it's unbelievable. When I went there, like, I was seeing people from my own village out there, hearing my own dialect of Irish. It was amazing. Like, I really enjoyed out there. It's a great place, great town. And it's, like you said, it's full of the Irish. So yeah, it is a home away from home. When I got the call for this fight, it was kind of, like you said, almost too good to be true. You're thinking, oh, we'll see. Because, you know, the way, I'm sure you know yourself, the way Irish boxing has gone, a lot of shows come and they get cancelled, and it's been quite hard to make a go of professional boxing in Ireland. Like, you know, a lot of people have tried and it's been quite difficult. So, you know, I got the call for this show. And of course, it was an amazing opportunity to have my homecoming headline in my city. You know, this is something I never even thought as a kid, to be fighting in Galway City main event. It just shows the years of hard work are paying off. So when I got the call right away, I was like, yeah, sounds good. Let's do it. But I always had in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, we'll see what happens now. Something will happen. But yeah, we're here fight week and it's all going to plan. McElhinney Promotions have done a great job with it, and you know, I'm very, very proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating conversation I had with Naomi a couple of weeks back, and big shout out to her and props to her. And we all know from being around boxing, those of us who love it and have been around it for so long, there's two different versions of conversation. There's the negative down the people who have never got much good to say about it and always talk about the bad side of it, or there's the people like ourselves who, let's just get in and get busy, create and keep busy until it comes around. And it always does come back around, because it's the nature of the fighter is to fight and to keep going. McElhinney's and Naomi are doing a tremendous job. You're aware that this is really only the tip of the iceberg for them. It's a big occasion for you. Could there be a danger of the event maybe overshadowing the fight itself and getting lost a little bit in that?
For sure. That's definitely something that could happen. You know, you've seen that when Katie Taylor had her homecoming, you know, like you had the likes of Gary Cully, maybe got caught up in the moment, and that's kind of what happened to him. I think the big thing to be able to shut out the noise, you know, focus on the task. I was getting my haircut today off my barber. You know, it's been a while, but I said I'll come home and I'll get him for the fresh fade for the fight. And, you know, I was talking to him about it, and I was kind of thinking, like, you know, I have to be sure not to be listening to the noise and the people screaming, because, you know, you can stray away from the game plan and try and get sucked into trying to just please the crowd. Like, you know, yeah, it's a big thing. It's a big discipline part to block everything out and just, like, focus and stick with the game plan, you know. So yeah, and it'll be a great learning experience for me. You know, this will probably be the loudest crowd I've had as pro to date, you know, so it'll be good to be able to keep my composure. You know, it'll be a good experience for me and good for the next big one, you know.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And for anybody that's not familiar, Thomas, do you want to talk to us a little bit about your team and your coach and the people that are tasked with getting you? I wouldn't say there's a case, there is absolutely no case of getting a Galway man up for a fight in Galway on a professional card, but the team behind you, do you want to talk to us a little bit about some of those?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, you know, I moved to Galway for my studies when I was 18. You know, I started training with Pavel Papko, and, you know, I've been with him up until April when I moved to the States, like, you know, and now I'm home with him this week and he's helped me prepare again. You know, he's a great coach, and you know, he helped me win my national title then. You know, I've really developed well under his tutelage. Since I moved to America, I started training with a man called Mark DeLuca. Great, great professional. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. He fought on Sky Sports, he fought Kell Brook, you know, a time when Kell Brook was one of the pound for pound best, like. So he has a lot of experience and he's a great student of the game. You know, he's always learning and always willing to learn. Yeah, he's helped add things to my game over the last several months. You know, I'm excited for Saturday night to be able to show them. You know, I'm feeling confident and I'm feeling ready.
Yeah, it's absolutely. If there's a man who's walked the walk and he knows how to talk the talk as well, there's Mark DeLuca. He probably faced the very best version of Kell Brook at the very peak of his career. And I speak a lot to Michael Zarafa, who was in around that time as well. And I think these guys are only really getting the credit for their performances right now, because that was a version of Kell Brook that people, I believe, didn't appreciate at that time.
Even he talked to me about that fight and like just the things that Kell did and stuff, you know. And like, that's experience you can't gain if you're a coach and you haven't fought, like, you know, only being in there, you can get it, like, you know, and that's the kind of experience he has. So when we're training, like, he can show us and demonstrate things, and it's just, it makes sense because he's been there and done it, you know.
Yeah, so you've got the best of both worlds, and then you've got Pavel, who knows you inside out here to welcome you home, shake off that whatever little bit of jet lag. I've not spoken to one in over 200 episodes where not one fighter has told me in fight week, the story goes, it's the best fight camp I've ever had, and I'm in the best shape ever, which is expected and which is understood. Can we twist it a little bit? Does the fact that it's at home bring any difference to the camp?
Really, just a personal thing I used as fuel, you know. I'll be honest, this camp had a lot of twists and turns in it for me, between little injuries and then issues with like certain medicals and stuff. In terms of preparation, maybe that could have been better. But in terms of the work I put in, I left no stone unturned. You know, like, I really pushed myself hard. Physically, I am in the best shape of my life. Granted, a lot of things went maybe wrong in camp for me, like I said, injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, I didn't let it faze me. I just kept going along because I knew what the ultimate goal was. And like, look, that's the way any fighter, if any fighter says they went through like a 8-week camp and they had no issues, like no bad spars or no little niggles, they have to be lying. Like, but that's the game. And I know if something went wrong with me, something definitely went wrong with my opponent. I do feel good and I am happy with the preparation I have put in. So yeah, I'm all ready.
And I was being a cheeky bowl Kildare man here when I've been tongue firmly in my cheek as I said that to you. So don't mind that, a little bit of comedic value I was trying to bring to it. With a few days to go to the fight, Thomas, when does it start? When does the switch start to happen for you? Is it a gradual thing? Does it, what some people have it, it's a gradual, some people it's when the hands get wrapped. But how does fight week go for you now as you begin to taper and focus in on the big night itself?
Typically, fight week is all about just staying sharp and managing the weight, you know. In terms of the fight itself, I try not to be fixated on it too much because it just kind of consumes you, you know. It'll be more so the day I'll kind of zone into it, and when I'm at the actual venue, like you said, getting the hands wrapped and stuff, you know, I'll really switch on. Like I said, I'm doing everything I need to do now, but I'm trying to, you know, even if it's watching a movie or just talking to people, I try and keep my head off it or mind off it a little bit, because you can probably overthink as well, like, you know, and then it's mentally draining, you know. So yeah, it's more so on the actual day where I really zone in, you know. I'll turn off the phone and I'll focus on the job at hand.
And that's and just as you're trying to switch off and not think about it, here comes me with the podcast trying to get 20 minutes of your time to make you think a little bit more than you should want to. So I appreciate it even more, mate, having hearing that. I'm going to finish up on a couple of quick ones for you. The expectations of Irish boxing around the world, taking a little bit of a dint, should I say, the reputation of the Irish boxing around the world, not too much, because we've got a lot of credit in the bank. We're a proud, reputable Irish nation of fighters, and everywhere we go, even if we're not winning, we represent and we fly the flag and we do it in style. But what would you expect? Do you do some visualizations?
Yeah, that's actually a big part of, I wouldn't say my training, but you know, while I'm training or while I'm thinking or running, you know, the visualization of fight night and how it's going to go from the ring walk to getting my hand raised, you know, all of it, you know, you visualization, it's a big thing, and I really believe that it important part of training, because if you can believe it, you can achieve it. Since I got the call for this fight, you know, I've envisioned it, I say, every day, several times a day, you know. So that's one of the things, again, like I'm saying, like when you think about it too much, visualization is a big thing for me, especially with my road work.
What can fans that are going along to Galway on the weekend, what can they expect to see from Thomas?
I'll always fight very hard, you know. If things get rough, you know, I'll dig deep and I can bite down on my gum shield and go, like, you know. So they should expect a good show, and definitely a victory is coming. He might make me work hard for it, but I'm definitely going to get it. They'll enjoy a good show and hopefully see a Galway man with his hand raised.
I'm not going to use a McGregor phrase or anything else before we go on, we go all, but I can tell you I would not want to be an opponent flying into Galway on the weekend to face you in Galway on Paddy's weekend. I can't even, the hair is just getting standing on my neck here at the moment, even thinking about it. I'm going to leave the last word to you, Thomas. There's a million and one, I'm sure, people who have made this possible for you. There's a lot of sponsors. There's a big team. There's you yourself. I'm going to leave it to you now to give a shout out and to mention the ones that need to be mentioned. It's all about you from here on in, mate. And I genuinely appreciate your time. And thanks again.
Thank you. No, thanks for having me. It means a lot. Like, I try not to go mentioning sponsors because you'll always leave one out. And the biggest thing is I want to thank my coaching team. Like I said, over in America, I have Mark DeLuca. You know, he's done great work with me. And coming home and having Pavel, I feel comfortable, you know, and that's a big thing to be able to come home and have him after not seeing him for so long and just feel comfortable knowing I'm in good hands. Like, you know, I have a big shout out to my family because without them, it wouldn't be possible at all. I haven't had to deal with any of the promotional stuff this side of it, you know, while I'm over there. You know, my father, my brother, you know, they've dealt with everything, you know, and sponsors, you know, they've helped a big time. And McAlney Promotions, you know, like this is, they're putting on a great show. You know, they put a lot of work into it, production. They've been very easy to work with, you know, so like without them, none of it will be happening. So I have to give a big shout out to them, Stephen and Naomi, you know, they've done a great job. That's it, really. You know, I'm looking forward to now. We're nearly here. And I remember when I got the call in January, I was thinking, oh, it'll be a long 2 months now, but like we're here already. And, you know, I can't wait. I'm probably one of the most exciting fights of my career. Definitely going to be the best night of my career. I know that for sure.
I have a feeling that there's good things to come. And with Katie Taylor cards, with Lewis Crocker, with Paddy Donovan, and with all your contemporaries and your colleagues from the amateurs, you guys are making us excited. You're giving us something to look forward to for once.
There was also lots going on overseas. We had the pick of them all. Was a card in San Francisco. The extension of Irishism around the world, I often wonder, where would we be if everybody had stayed at home all those years ago, if we hadn't emigrated, if we hadn't been sent away by our noisy neighbours? But if, buts, ands and maybes, incredible to see a show in San Francisco. Two men at either end of the scale. We had Brandon McCarthy, who I interviewed here a few months ago. It only seems like a few months ago, but it was a couple of years ago, having won Irish titles and won European medals and awards all the way through his amateur career. I interviewed him just before he entered his first senior title, senior championships, and he went on in that year and won his senior championships. He's had mixed fortunes ever since. He went on Saturday night to make his pro debut in emphatic style with a second round stoppage. And topping that card then, we had two Irish fellas at opposite ends of their career also. We have Craig McCarthy, who was the current Celtic middleweight champion, defending his title against 7-0 Tommy Hyde, who was coming off the back of a stellar amateur career, a couple of Irish titles in the bag already, and stepping up for the very first time so early in his career. And he had too much for Craig McCarthy. It was an incredible start for him. It is an incredible start for him. And it augurs well, because Tommy, for anyone that's not familiar, is the son of the great Gary Hyde, who promoted Willie Big Bang Casey, who brought across Guillermo Rigondo from Cuba. He had Mike Perez, and he had such a strong and buoyant scene going down in the south of the country for many years. And when I was in the height of my Carl Frampton fanboyism, he was the one managing Rigondo, calling out Carl and telling him he had someone here who would beat him. And my opinion then, Gary, I think I've admitted to you in the past, was who the is this fella, and why doesn't he just go away and leave us alone? We're all enjoying this now. But when I saw Rigondo for the very first time, I realised exactly why you were calling Carl out, and I was glad those paths didn't cross at the time. So, all in all, yeah, a fantastic weekend for Irish boxers, a fantastic showcase for the talent that's come through the Irish system over the last few years, and there's no end to it, Ian, really, is there?
Over the last couple of weekends, we've had a number of Leinster competitions going on between the actual clubs. My first interview with young Wade, in terms of our rising star, and what's he after doing? He's after winning Leinster once again. So, well done, Wade, and well done, family, because that is very much a family affair with everyone involved pushing in the same direction. And congratulations. I'm sure we'll get to talk to you again soon.
He's probably one of the few we didn't jinx that day, because two of the three that we interviewed ended up with hand injuries. And shout out to John Cooney, who is on the road to recovery now following surgery. Shout out to Ryan, who's deep entrenched in camp in Manchester. I've been chatting to Steve over the weekend. We've got content coming from the lads fairly soon. We had big Keane McMahon, who went across there and had no luck. So we seemed to put the kiss of death on that on those group that morning. But Wade was the one who rose above, and a big shout out to that young man. There's a promising career for him and his younger brother. And the preparation that he's getting, and the to be able to work alongside these lads is incredible.
Top notch.
It's priceless. It really is. So it's great to see, and it's great from our point of view to be attached to these guys who give us an insight into what goes on a little bit behind the curtain. We have to give credit to Ian on this. It's his series. It was his brainchild from the start. It's the up and coming, I suppose we call it boots on the ground. We have many, we refer to it as different things in the background, but the basis of it and the nuts and bolts of it is to find these young up and coming fighters before anybody else might choose to do so. And if I'm being a little bit bold, I've noticed a few others are starting to do it lately. So, nice one, lads. Keep watching. That's me being bold, and Ian is smiling at me saying, no, don't do it. But
No. Say it as you see it. But at the same time, it doesn't matter what's going on with others, as long as young lads are given a bit of exposure and confidence, maybe additional confidence that their own coaches or their own club or see them as valuable and say, do you know what? Yeah, let's put him in front of the camera or the microphone. And
paving the way as well, if this is something they're going to have to get used to doing, whether they like it or not over the coming years, if they have any ambitions or any hopes to be a pro in the future, the self-promotion is bigger now than it ever has been. At times it can be bigger than your actually amateur pedigree. If you can bring to the table like Ben Whittaker does, and add that to your pedigree as a fighter, well then you're self-promoting, you're self-selling, you're a promoter's dream. When you see the lads we have lined up, the people, the fighters we have lined up for the next couple of episodes, you're going to be in for a real treat. So all in all, it's been a successful few days. It's been a bit of a break, but we're back with a bang. You want to get in contact with us as usual?
X, it's Endswell Podcast, or Instagram, Endswell_podcast. Until next time, folks.
And even if your run of luck is going the same as mine, or if it's going better, you're winning, losing, or drawing, and no matter what's going on, never doubt. All's well that ends well.